Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, that we can be part of what you are doing, Lord. Thank you that we can dedicate this night unto you. And we say to you, Lord Jesus, may your kingdom come here in our hearts, in our midst, in the city, in this nation. Use us, Father, with the little bit that we bring to you, Father. We thank you that you multiply tonight, Lord, whatever we put on the table, in your hands. Amen. Amen. So maybe if you haven't been here this morning, forgive me if I do repeat. If you've been here this morning, I'm not going to try and say the same. But as you already know, I'm from Namibia. We actually grew up in Namibia. We live in Swakopmund now for the last 6-7 years. And I'm not going to bore you with all the detail from since I've been born, but I always tell people a little bit of the history. So we grew up in Namibia, and then we're there for quite a while. And then in 2003, moved to London. And that's a part of my story. Maybe, do we have the photo there of my family? Maybe I'll just brag. I don't have books tonight to sell, so I'll brag with my family. Okay? By the way, don't worry, the four girls there, I don't know, but by the way, I'll tell you a story. So what happens, I moved to London 2003, I sense God says, at that time, by the way, I was working full-time, and I sense God is calling me to full-time ministry, so I started preparing, and then suddenly I heard the voice of God saying, pack up everything, go to London, and it didn't make sense to me. So seeking God, he confirms that, and I thought, you know, God, it's just going to be a quick year, and then I'll come back and continue with my studies and on my journey to full-time ministry. But it didn't turn out to be like that. That 1 year continued to be 8 years now. And sometimes God's got a different picture for our lives. You know, you can come back after a year, but you step outside God's will, you know. And even as a Namibian today, I'm so patriotic about my country, love that country to bits, that I still don't know how did I manage to stay there that long. It's only God that kept me there. So, but it's a safe place to be. Nevertheless, so I went there on my own. By the way, I've got two other brothers. So my other brother joined me. The other brother was there already. So the whole family, all the children, sons moved there. Now what happened before that is, I'll tell you that story later. Sorry, remind me, I'll tell you a story about my brother. So I moved to London, and then we got involved in a church. We started serving there. And God started moving in our hearts and doing a lot of things. You know, when you're a single man, I'm talking to students here tonight. Sometimes there's a request, there's a urgent desire that's coming up there. You know, we've got the family up there. You want the wife. And that becomes the only prayer you almost pray. God, I want the wife. God, I want the wife. And then God is just silent, right? Focus. Nevertheless, so I just continued seeking God, and God was just so faithful. We just grew in such a way. And then it happened to be after a few years, almost stopped praying that prayer. I said, no, let me just focus on what I have to do. That shouldn't be my biggest desire. And by the way, you're praying that, maybe that's fine. Pray that, but don't let that be your own biggest desire. So nevertheless, it happened to be, and I'm giving you tips here tonight, just by the way. In church one Sunday, I was standing there and I was ushering at that moment still. And I was fairly in the front. I think it was in that row there. And the next moment, my eyes opened to this beautiful lady in the front. And then, you know, it's strange when these things happen to you. At that stage, I was just so spiritual and so focused on God, but my flesh catches, and I thought, wow. And then I realized, focus, 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 we're worshiping here. Wake Satan! I don't, honestly, I don't joke, I definitely said that. I said, wake Satan! God, I need to focus on where I'm going. This cannot happen. And anyway, so I was battling this, what that was happening, up to a point that God says, relax, that is me. Just enjoy that. That is the time, you know. So so then the next Sunday, I placed myself strategically in front. And I worshipped. And somewhere God lined us up. And today, we haven't got the photo. That's fine. We're happily married. And we've got 3 girls, 9, 8, and 4 years old. So I'm, like Philip said, totally outnumbered. But God is good. So if you want the wife, you need the husband, this is a good ground to find them here. You know, but nevertheless, I want to tell you, share some stories with you tonight, possibly a lot of stories, but I love stories. And it's a story about Buddha. Just relax, we're in the Christian church here. I'm not talking about Buddha. We're not going to preach Buddha, but it's a story about a Buddha statue that was in Bangkok, Thailand. And they wanted to build a road through this village, but there was a problem. There was in the middle of this village, there was an 11-foot Buddha statue of clay. And it happened in the early 1900s. So the government got all the cranes together and they thought, well, we have to build the road through here. We'll just move the statue to a different place, this clay statue. So they got the cranes together, all the people there, and they started lifting that thing. And as they started lifting that statue, the clay started crumbling. And they thought for a moment, no, we have to put it down. But the more they started and moving on it, the more it started crumbling, till eventually all the clay came off and it was a golden statue of Buddha. They thought it was worth $1,000. Today it's worth millions of dollars, and there's a story, you can visit that apparently. It's strange how we sometimes have a certain picture of something until certain things happen and it changes. I've got a little girl, like I said, 4 years old, and it's so nice to spend time here with Philip and his girls, because it reminds me so much of mine. And there's a story about a little girl that was standing on the deck of a ship with her father. And then she couldn't, it was a crisp, clear day, and she couldn't see far. So she said to her dad, Daddy, pick me up. So the daddy picked her up, he put her on his shoulders. And she said this, I can see further than where my eyes can see. Huh? I can see further than where my eyes can see. Well, father, see, sight is a function of the eyes. But vision is a function of the heart. This night. And I want us maybe just quickly to page to Mark 8 tonight. If you've got your Bibles, I've got the scripture anywhere up here. Mark 8, verse 22. By the way, forgive me if I don't put on my jacket. It's quite hot here. But let me tell you another story. When I was privileged a couple of years ago to go to Israel. And it's interesting. When you go there, you find a lot of churches. But what's interesting about where those churches are built is they are built where Peter bled, or Peter ate bread, and then they build a church there. And why I'm saying this with a jacket, we've been in London, you know, and sometimes you see all these ministries, they start the jacket ministry. You know, they throw the jacket. Maybe I'm stepping on toes here tonight. But, you know, I've seen in Acts sometimes that the Bible talks about the shadow of Peter that just fell upon him, and the power of God is just moving. And then I see Jesus use different techniques, or say techniques, ways to heal people. I think for one reason, because we copy that, you know. Think about that for a moment. We start the Saktuk Bedino. So we send that out, and the anointing is in that. Then the jacket ministry. And then I always joke about that other one that Jesus did. You know, the spitting ministry. Thank God we're not there tonight. So forgive me. Yeah, imagine that for a moment. Jesus standing there and say, listen, come here. I don't want to. You can imagine for yourself. That's the way he healed me. But Jesus knew that we will run after that method rather than seeking him. Right? Isn't it interesting? But that's I'm going off track now. Let's get back to Mark 8. It's a story about a blind man that was healed. And we pick it up from verse 22. So when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought the blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. I'm just going to stop there for a moment. I want us just to look at that first scripture. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes. This is actually the story. Sorry, I forget. He laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? Let's just stop there for a moment. I want you to notice here what's happening here. This is not a blind man, going to Jesus. There are some people around this blind man that are to lead him to Jesus. Which brought me to that question, or allowed me to think and ponder about that. Upon the people that eventually led me to this place where I can stand here tonight. People ask me sometimes, where does your story start? I said to you, it starts not with my parents, it starts a generation back. And maybe you've got a story tonight about people that led you to a place where Jesus could have touched you.
I remember this past week we've been in a course and they were saying, you know, that there's a window of 4 to 14, that when we pour into our children the values and the morals, the window is opening at 4 and it's closing at about 14. Between that time, between that window, we have to pour into our children all the moral values. The window closes after 14 and then it's just up here. But what happened to me is, we grew up in the south of Namibia. It's one of those towns, you don't blink your eye, then you've gone through that. So we were fortunate. All my grandparents were serving the Lord. My grandma stepped out, first of all, in the faith. And she was, almost want to say, persecuted. Back then it was everything about the baptism and all of that. Not going to go there. But long story short, so we would often, their house was close to ours, and we would sit there, I would sit there next to the table, and my granny would just continue to pour the word inside of me. Although I was a little boy, she would just continue to speak life. And at that stage, possibly I couldn't even understand what's happening here. I remember she would often just emphasize about the baptism. She used to believe, you know, if you're not baptized, you're not going to heaven. I'm not preaching that tonight. I'm just saying, she would continue to pour the gospel inside of me. And she said something that I didn't agree at that stage, but which God honored. She would sit there and she would say, one day you will be my pastor. One day you will be my pastor. I said, oh, Mom, we need to say any. I just want to do what I want to do. Although I love the Lord, but somewhere along the line, somebody decided to take me by hand and just lead me and pour into my life. And then in the right time, it's the thing with that seed. In the right moment, in the presence of God, it just happens. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and there are people around you that brought you here. Maybe you sit here tonight and you can maybe identify with me about the people in your life that's still there for you. My friend, all of us tonight, we need to come to the conclusion that we journey together. That blind man's healing didn't come from him on his own. But he had a group of people around him that say, we're going to lead you to an unknown place, to an unknown man, so that he can touch you. And I thought about that blind man. You know, the blind man had to trust those people. Sometimes we don't trust people. I know I've invited people sometimes to church service, and you don't tell them the full story. And then the Holy Spirit shows up anyway. But sometimes we just have to trust people. And I sense to some of us sitting here tonight, the reason why we stop short of our miracle is we stopped to trust people. Think about the blind man. He possibly knew the people, but he didn't know Jesus. And we're going to see that a little bit later. See, and then Jesus comes and Jesus touches us. Here's the thing. I believe tonight that both of us, or all of us tonight here, it's got two hands for two reasons. Or for two reasons it's. You can take somebody with you tonight, or bring somebody here with you, or during this week, as the Spirit of God is leading you, and asking, Lord, whose hand am I supposed to take? And then the other hand, God, whose hand am I supposed to take? Who's leading me? Who's speaking into my life? Who am I accountable to? Both hands, I believe that with my heart. You see, the story didn't stop there. I remember I told you that I'll tell you a story about my brother. So what happened is we went to London, but before we went to London, I remember one night a specific call. My dad called my brother, and my brother was my youngest brother's way back in the world day. He's just enjoying London to the best, trucks, da 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 da. And so we are on our way to on the plane, or a week about from there, flying out to London, and my brother calls my dad and he says, oh, just send me a bottle of Klipdrift brandy with him, so that we don't get Klipdrift in London. I said, no, I'm not bringing Klipdrift, I'm bringing you a Bible. But nevertheless, we had a good relationship. So what happened is, long story short, he was just full out there, just doing his own thing. So we started positioning ourselves. You know, we got involved in this in church there. He wasn't in church, and started just building that bridge again so that he can trust us, so that we can take his hand. So one day I said to him, don't you want to come with us to church? He said, no, I'm not coming with you to church. I said, okay, I'll make you a deal. I'll go with you. Don't quote me here tonight. Don't necessarily follow this advice unless the Holy Spirit leads you. I said, I'll go with you to the club tonight, but I won't drink. I'll be there with you. I'll do everything with you. I won't drink, but then tomorrow you come with me. Okay? Well, that's why I say you need to make sure I don't know. It's different for all of us sometimes. If that's a place of stumbling block, I'm not preaching, go there. But if the Holy Spirit is saying that to you, bargain. So I thought, I'll bargain. It's a deal. You know what happened? Long story short, the next morning, we got up ready for church, phoning. Oh, he's not answering. Phoning is later on, he's answering. I said, you got to wake up. We're going to church. And he still got to bubble us, you know. I said, I'm picking you up. We're going. Long story short, we go through the service, come to the altar call. And where do I see at the front there? On his knees, broken before God. You see, that day, with his babalas, God was able to touch him. Today, that brother of mine is also in ministry in a church in Botswana. They're attending more than 1,000 people in one service. Don't ever underestimate the power of one invitation. See, we do not know what's on the other side of our obedience. If we go out there and say, Lord Jesus, what a blind, who are they out there that need me? The man looked around. Yes, he said, let's go back to verse 23. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Led him out of the village, the blind man. Just for a moment there, let's just pause there. There's one thing we all have in common here tonight. We had in common. And we all started that place. All of us were born blind. All of us were at one, some another time in your life. I don't know whether you met Jesus. I don't know you that well. But we all started that place. The Bible said all have fallen short of the glory of God as sin. And all of us are that place that we need somebody that can take us to that place. And maybe you sit here tonight, gratitude to people around you that's been with you on that journey. You know, I can carry on and talk about my own life, about people that took time to sit with me and disciple me and tell me what I'm supposed to do. We never should underestimate the power of our discipleship, of spending time with people. They took him by hand, and then something remarkable happened. Listen to this. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him, listen to this, out of the village. Not in the village, not in the city. He took him out of the village. And I think there's something profound in the scripture here. That when God wants to move in our life, he needs to take us out of that known into the unknown. If you sit here tonight and say, Lord, I'm just going to be comfortable here. I love my life. I love where I am. Whether we advance, you know, the same principle applies continuously, which I found in my journey with God. That every time that God needs to move me out, or I need to step up a next level, he needs to lead me out of the known. See, the miracles doesn't happen within the norm of the known. It doesn't happen within the norm of the opinion of men. It doesn't happen within the borders of the city. And God is calling us and saying to us, are you willing to step outside the city? Are you willing to go to that place where you're a bit uncomfortable? Think about that blind man. He had to go outside his known territory. Now, blind people, and I say it with due respect, I think they study their environment. You look at those people, and they're just, I want to say, brilliant. They would walk here, and sometimes you see that people need them. But I've found and seen that people sometimes, they know their environment, especially where they live. So they would know there's something that I can stumble over here. They study that environment. And Jesus knew he had to take him out of that known area into an unknown area so that he can trust God, so that he can trust Jesus. See, for you this night, in order for God to take you to the next level, whether you're here tonight, you do not know him, or whether you know him, it takes faith to step outside that known area. Where I love the opinion of man, where I love to be safe, where I love the comfort, where I can predict tomorrow, where I know what's coming my way, and I just can sit back and say, Lord Jesus, this is nice to be a Christian. I love this. But miracles happen outside the city. What happens here is so remarkable. The man looked around. Listen, sorry, previous verse. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? Can you see anything now? And the man looked around. Yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Here's the thing. Jesus touches this man. Then he stops. And it wasn't that Jesus' battery is flat. Okay, just by the way. It's not the cell phone or you have to try a second time. It's about that question. Can you see anything? In other words, let me rephrase that for you. Are you content with what you have, right? Are you content or do you want more? See, that man stood there being touched by Jesus and could see people but not really. the first touch, when Jesus touched him, he saw people. The second touch, I believe, he started seeing souls. You know, when we come to God, sometimes we come into his presence, we meet, and I see that so often, we just want to get a ticket to heaven. So let me just sort out my things, because I'm afraid if I die tonight, then things are not sorted out. So let me just do the batch thing. I'll just get here, commit my life to Christ, and then I'll just disappear in the cloud. In the night. And you're a Christian, by the way, relax. You'll probably go to heaven. But here's the thing, there's more. Jesus is asking you tonight, are you content with what you see? Or do you yearn for more? And here's the thing, Jesus never forced himself upon that. Only upon his permission, only upon his request, only upon his desire, Jesus acted. He touched him the second time, and he wasn't the same. There's a story about a man called David Livingston. Now, there's so many stories about him, but this particular story is it happened after he came from his body, his corpse was brought into London. He was a national hero. He died in Africa, so they went. You can read that story on the internet. It's a beautiful story how the natives cut his heart, and his heart is still this day in Africa. They maybe I should tell it to you. It's just one of those beautiful stories. So what happened is, long story short, see, my time still allows me to do that. David Livingston, a missionary from England that went to Africa, and he was there for several years, and he started becoming sick, you know, working under the native people. Long story short, and then eventually there was a reporter that heard about him, and they went there and they started interviewing him. They found out how many churches he's planted, how many villages he's impacted through his ministry. So what happened is he went back, and then the king decided they wanted to send an army of people back to Africa to go and fetch David Livingston. But when this, let me just get my facts right here now. When this reporter went back before the army came, David Livingston, because the reporter begged Livingston and said to Livingston, just David, just come with me. You'll be a national hero. Just come. You've done enough for the gospel. You've been in enough villages. And he said, no, I have to stay here. I have to do what God has called me. So long story short, so when the reporter left, David, they almost said David Copperfield. Forgive me for that. No, who is that? David Livingston wrote in his diary, Lord, I pray that you'll take me home 1 year from now. So, fast forward, they send the army to Africa, one of these countries, and when they found him, this is how he died, in that great position. When they took his body there to contend with the natives for his body, and when they got to England, they found out that his heart was ripped out. And the natives send the message, you can take his body, but his heart belongs in Africa. So this body, or this corpse, they were carrying it through the streets of London, and it's this memorial, and he's the national hero. And the story's been told of a man that was crying as he was walking next to that. And a friend of David Livingston came, and he started walking next to this guy and said, why are you crying? And the guy said, I'm crying not for David, I'm crying for myself. This man lived for something and he died for something. I'm living for nothing. We journey together. We journey to a specific place, my friend, tonight. Do you know where you're going? Are you still in the city? Are you on your way out somewhere with Jesus? Here's the thing. God is inviting you tonight to that place where he can touch you again. You know, every time I have the opportunity, and it's not just about having an experience, you can listen to that maybe sermon this morning, is more than just having an experience. It's about when God touches you, what happens to you, and the transformation that's taking place. You know, we're not seeking the experience, we're seeking the transformation. But whenever we get into the presence of God and Jesus touches you the second time, and I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I'm not content. And I'm telling you right now, at this given time, I'm at that place in my uncomfortable where I am. I'm saying, God, there must be more. I'm not content with what I see. Church is so much more than just coming together. And by the way, I love the church. I'm passionate about that. But God, there must be more. Verse 26, listen to this. And in Jesus, let's go to 25. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. And his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away saying, don't go back into the village. on your way home. Again, so many powerful truths. And we're saying to one another, we journey together. Whose hand are you taking? We're journeying to a specific place outside the city tonight, where God is waiting upon you. And the last one, Jesus gave this man specific instructions. All of us sit here tonight, all of us here, supposed to have specific instructions for your life. A couple of years ago, I think about 2 years ago, at our men's camp, and so we're talking about a lot of stuff. That Friday night, we asked the guys, do you know why you're here? Do you know your purpose? Do you know that half of those 200 men raised their hands, they don't know? I find in life, in the church, that a lot of us, we're not willing to see God till we get to that answer. And I know we're all here to glorify God, but I believe God has called you to fit somewhere into the place. And I want you to confuse your vision with your assignment. Because some of us are sitting here with an assignment that God has given you. You need to finish that assignment. But what has God given you? He's asking you to get out of the city. And then once we get out of that place where he touches us, and he touches a second time, he gives us vision, he gives us something that we can put in front of us and say, God, this is what I want to live for. Like a David Livingstone say, Lord, nothing is going to take me away from that. That's what you called me for. But here's the thing. Jesus had to instruct that man not to go back into the city. Because I sometimes find if we go back to that old place, it's not good for us. See, once Jesus has touched us, we can never go back to that same place. You might sit here tonight. You might go back to that same place, but you won't be able to deny that Christ is real, Christ is touching. Jesus is asking you tonight, maybe I should ask you tonight, do you know why you're here? And I'm a passionate as a pursuer of that, to make sure that we understand, that we see God. You know, it took me such a long time, even though I was in ministry, even though I was pursuing that. I said, God, there must be more. It's not just about standing here and preaching. There's a bigger picture. And only lately, I've come to that place where God gives me more and more. And only if we ask, are you content with where you are at tonight? Forgive me for all the stories. I love them. But there's a story about a man called Jeremy Bentham. And it's also a London story. It isn't nothing to do with I've been there, didn't hear it there. So forget about that. But the man is called Jeremy Bentham. He was a millionaire. So he died. Then in his will, he said all his money, millions of dollars, or pounds, he would donate to a hospital. And it wasn't a trust, and they can use it for whatever reason in the hospital. On only one condition, he was cremated, and all his ash had to be placed in the meeting when the trustees come together. Okay? That's a true story. So for 100 years, the minutes of those meetings looked like this. Jeremy, what did I say after? Jeremy Bentham. So I forgot his surname for a moment. Jeremy Bentham, present, but not alive. Present, but not alive. The only thing that's worse is if you're alive, but you're not present. God had to rebuke me. And by the way, I'll not go there about being present when he's present. You know, sometimes I see that in church. We come in and God help us, you know, shofar. sometimes we're just out there. We've got shofar time and all. And I'm just fighting this. I'm saying, guys, whenever we're in the presence of God, treasure this. This is holy. I'm not saying become religious. Don't hear me. But treasure the presence of God. He's here in our midst. This is not just my brother, booty. And I'm not saying, you know, God talks about Abram as being his friend and all of that. That's great. But when we get into that presence, we treasure that. One more story and then I'll end up. I want us to pray together tonight. Again, a man called John Griffith. It happened in America in the 1930s. There was a famine at that stage, and all the farmers were forced out of business. And the man had to go. Can I have the band up here, by the way? The man had to go from the farm and go and find work for himself. So he moved to Vicksburg, Mississippi, where the Mississippi River is. There's a bridge. And I don't know if you've been in London Bridge. The bridge would open up and the ships would go through. And it's a similar bridge like that. And what happened to be, so he worked there for several years. And one day he decided to take his five-year-old boy with him to work. And there was a railway on that bridge. So whenever his job was to sit in the tower and then just pull the lever, and then the bridge would lower and the train would pass, or it would open up and the ships would go through. So one day he took his five-year-old boy with him, and they spent time there, his father and son there, and they're just spending time. It's a true story, yeah. I'm not making up stories. So yeah. And they spent time, they're having lunch together, and just about after lunch, as they were sitting there at the bottom there, close to that bridge, he heard the whistle of the train coming. And he realized that the bridge was open. And he was at the bottom, and he said to his little boy, "You just sit here tight. Daddy will be with you," because he was in such a hurry, because he saw the train coming, more than 200 people coming on the train, and he had to rush up the tower just to pull the lever so that the people would pass safely, or that the train would pass safely. So when he got up on the tower and he looked down, his little boy moved from that place to a place where when he would pull that lever, it would crush that little boy. And I quote to you tonight what he said. "I closed my eyes and had a decision to make in a split second. I closed my eyes," this is what he wrote, "and I pulled the lever and he crushed his lip." Isn't that what Jesus came to do for us? Isn't that what the Father came to do for me and you, my friend? Where you are, just close your eyes. I'm just going to ask you for a moment just to be silent, just where you are, just to be there with God, where God is just ministering to you. I just sense tonight, Lord, it's calling many of us tonight to come out of that place of the known into the place of the unknown. I don't know what your life looks like. Maybe you came here by a friend. Maybe a friend invited you here. Maybe you came to church. You grew up in church, but you cannot say tonight that you have got an active relationship with Christ, that you know tonight, Lord Jesus, I can say that you are my Lord and Savior. If that's you tonight, I want to pray with you in a moment. Maybe you sit here tonight and you know there must be more. You say, "Lord Jesus, I became stuck in the city. I became stuck in the known. And I'm not content." And God is asking you tonight, are you content? Do you want to see more? I believe God can take you to the next level. And it's not about you, it's about His kingdom tonight. Whenever God advances us to the next level, it's not so that we can be lifted up, so that His name can be lifted up. You know, I found from time to time when He creates the platform, I'm just so overwhelmed because there's nothing I can do. I've seen myself without the presence of God. I've seen myself without the anointing of God. And I tell you, it's horrible. But whenever God steps out and He invites us to that place where His grace is coming, and He's saying to us tonight, do you want to step out of that known into the unknown tonight? Are you content with where you are at? You here tonight, and that you want to just take your belongings and maybe just come to the front quickly. I want to pray with you. There are five guys this night that I sense that God is saying, you know there's more, specifically in terms of ministry. And I'm not saying full-time ministry. Maybe that is what God is saying, but five guys I just sense. Maybe you want to get involved in a deeper level and say, God, I want to give more. I know there must be more that I need to give. And then there's somebody here tonight. The Lord has been talking to you about the lady specifically that you need, the older lady, I don't know, that you need to take her hand, that you need, and you've not been obedient. And I just want you to just bring that before God. Say, God, God's grace can just come upon you and just empower you and just strengthen yourself tonight. And then the last, which I do sense to pray for, since we're praying, we're ministering about the scripture, about healing, I do sense that God wants to heal some of us here tonight. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to call out specific people tonight with regards to healing. It's all up to you. Whether you're going to respond, whether you're going to act in faith, whether you're going to step up, whether you're going to say, God, I trust you, whether you're going to sit here tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I can do this on my own, or Lord Jesus, I need you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.